On Thursday morning, cattle futures are higher. Hogs, corn, and soybeans are lower. I'm John Perkins with a Brownfield market update. Stein invented short stature corn, then they perfected it. For unique hybrids derived from the most superior corn breeding program, choose MX Series Corn by Stein. Soybeans are down. U.S. planting conditions look good overall, but continue to favor the Midwest over southern growing areas. There are some questions about trade policy after a federal court trade ruling on tariffs. July beans are down 6 3/4 at 10.41 3/4. August is 6 3/4 lower at 10.38 1/2. July bean meal steady at 293.70, and July bean oil is down 98 at 47.95, with a big drop in crude oil this morning. Corn is lower. Watching planting, expecting some farmers in parts of the Corn Belt to wrap up in the next few days. Mexico and Unknown both bought U.S. corn this morning. July is down 2 3/4 at 4.48 1/4, and September's a penny lower at 4.28 3/4. And wheat's up. Chicago has rallied after its lower start, seeing support from a decline in the dollar index. Kansas City and Minneapolis are supported by crop condition concerns. July Chicago's up 3 at 5.33 1/4. Cotton's down on questions about demand, with most active July down 65 at 64.67. Rice is mostly lower on spread trade and profit taking, with July down 4.5 at 13.45. Live and feeder cattle are up solidly, supported by yesterday's higher close in beef, waiting for direct business to really get going. June live's up 150 at 215.42, and August is $2 higher at 210.15. August feeders are up 320 at 298.82. And hogs are lower, with questions about demand ahead of tomorrow's export sales numbers. Pork did close lower yesterday. June's down 17 at $100.10. July's 37 lower at 102.92. I'm John Perkins with a Brownfield Market Update.
Meet Ed, movie buff, animal lover, safe driver.
5 years of driving an ambulance teaches you a thing or two. If people knew what I know, lives could be saved. When I see a car trying to rush past a turning bus, I get concerned. You see, when big vehicles turn right, they have to swing wide to make the turn. And that's a lesson you don't want to learn the hard way. When trucks and buses turn, let's you and I wait.
It's our roads. It's our safety.
Visit www.sharetheroadsafely.gov.
If you're talking, they will hear you.
Why are we getting killed like this?
Kyle's not here. Got caught drinking beer in the park a couple of nights ago.
Really?
Yeah. Zero tolerance. He's out for the season.
Harsh.
Hey, he knew not to drink. We've made that clear to all of our kids, right?
No, not really.
Bill, if we don't tell them what we expect and why they shouldn't drink, how are they going to know?
Talk. They hear you. For more information, visit underagedrinking.samhsa.gov. You
try. AM Minnesota on the Mighty 920 KDHL.
It is time to revisit what's happening during Faribault's Heritage Days celebration. Troy Temple and Kevin O'Brien are in studio from the Faribault Heritage Days board. I always get asked, what's new this year? Is there new
stuff?
Yeah,
we have a couple of new things this year. It's mostly on, I believe, Saturday. We have a climbing wall. The National Guard's bringing their climbing wall in on Saturday from 10 to 1. And it's free, so people can come out and enjoy a climbing wall. We have a Bloody Mary bar that's going to start at 11 a.m.
That'll be popular.
Yeah, I think so. It might even start sooner than that, but that's what's on our poster right now. And then we have a bean bag tournament as well. So those are kind of some of our new things, along with all the things we've done in the past.
When I first got here in the late 80s, we had a nice horseshoe tournament. Those days are done, aren't they?
Yeah, people, I mean, I think bean bags kind of took over horseshoes, is what it seemed like.
Why do you think that is, Kevin? You got any theories on that? I mean, it's kind of the same thing. You're underhand tossing something.
Right, yeah.
Instead of a horseshoe, you're tossing a bean bag.
More portable, you know, with those boards being able to be moved around as opposed to having to have a sand pip and that spike to throw the horseshoe at. Now you can take this to family gatherings and parties and such.
Well, I'm going to probably get myself in trouble here, but I think horseshoes probably takes a little more skill than the beanbags.
Possibly, unless somebody's, you know, I'm not a beanbag person, so I'm not sure what the skill part of either one of those are. I can see the horseshoe be having a little more skill because of how the points are scored and so forth.
Yeah, you got to ring it and everything.
Yeah.
Would I be accurate on that, Kevin, or you don't want to get in trouble either?
If you played horseshoes, you'd probably pick up beanbags pretty quick.
I did play horseshoes. Yep. Yeah. When I was in high school or senior high, They had a league in my hometown of Spring Valley, Minnesota. They had a really nice horseshoe pit there at the park. But your boss, well, your former boss, now you're the boss, told us the last time he was here that consideration is being made. Well, you're on the recreation committee, aren't you?
Yep. I'm right. On the park and rec.
Talking about getting rid of the horseshoe pit and putting a pickleball in that area?
At South Alex? Yeah.
That's the plan. Again, the one reason for it is the space is perfect for it, I believe. And, you know, there's lights.
Yeah, right. Well, it makes perfect sense because nobody's throwing horseshoes anymore.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it would be a good way to activate that park with another thing happening out there. And like Troy said, it fits perfect within fencing and the lighting that's already there that we could fit in 3 to 4 pickleball courts.
How about a pickleball tournament during Heritage Days?
Something to think about for the future.
Have different age groups. Have a seniors, because it's not fair for a 30-year-old to be playing a 65-year-old.
You'd be surprised.
Yeah, you'd be surprised. Yes, the 30-year-olds are a little more agile, but those seniors...
More. They're a lot more agile.
They got... it's with the amount that they practice, and if you can master the dinking, you can keep a 30-year-old running.
True. Mm-hmm. When they're back, you just dink it right over the net.
Yep.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you can really get us young bucks moving on a pickleball court with someone that knows how to place it.
Hear that? He puts himself in the young bucks category.
Yep, he's still there, so.
We don't have enough courts to do a pickleball tournament, I'm guessing.
Not a great setup for it. We've done it at the Armory before. We can fit in 6 courts in that facility. But it's off-site. It's a ways off from Central Park and Heritage Days, but it could be something to consider for the future.
Well, how many courts do we have outdoors right now?
Meadows and Windsor Parks both have 2 pickleball courts within there.
That's the only outdoor ones we have.
Oh, okay. We do need more.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And those were converted basketball courts. The Meadows Park was brand new, but Windsor was a converted basketball court.
So is this a done deal pretty much? The horseshoe is going to become pickleball court?
It's not a done deal, but it's that's what's we're talking about.
Well, it makes perfect planning. Sense,
yep.
Yeah.
The funds, yep. You know, it's always a money issue to get the funds.
How much can it take to?
Paving the court, I mean, you're talking to do it from scratch, $5,000 to $7,000 per pickleball court. And then you've got lining and then the fencing and windbreak to go in there.
How many courts are you going to put in there?
We'd like to fit at least 3.
Yeah.
And it does work. I'm sure you measured it and everything, right? 3, mm-hmm. 3 courts will work?
Yep. Yeah.
And did you say it was $7,000 per court?
Mm-hmm.
So somebody, I mean, you get somebody that, you know, you fundraise a little bit and you know, there's always money allocated within the city parks for upgrading stuff and getting some new stuff. But, you know, that's always hard to come by.
Yeah.
On a regular basis.
Maybe I need to leave that in my will or something.
There you go. You could call it the Gordy Cosfield Pickle Courts.
mm-hmm.
What are we doing on Friday? Kevin, you want to?
Friday, we got the citywide garage sale for Heritage Days on June 13th. We've got the Rice County Historical Society Open Museum from 10 to 5. Admission is free that day.
You hear that? Free.
Free.
Mm-hmm. Downtown walking tour starting in Central Park from noon to 3, $5 per person. We've got the free community lunch at the Trinity Lutheran Church.
And it's always a good lunch.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yep, 11 to 1, so stop on in for some free food there. The craft fair will be running afternoon from 3 to 8 p.m. And then we've got the always popular bingo next to the band shell from 5 to 7 p.m., sponsored by the Faribault Senior Living. We've got the Faribault Car Cruise. It'll be right down there near Central Park between Wells Fargo and Ace Hardware.
Yeah, they're moving their location just
for Heritage Days. Yep. And it's a special car cruise. It's not part of the car cruise series that the chamber puts on.
Okay.
Nope.
Mm-hmm. So yeah, and a good attendance to that would be great, just to get, since it's not part of that regular schedule.
Yep.
You got the beer garden from noon to 11, and no button admission is required to get in there.
Whereas it used to be, right?
Yep. After a certain time, kind of when the band started up, we always required a button, but this year we're not going to, so.
That doesn't mean you shouldn't buy a button.
That's right.
Right.
For $5.
Mm-hmm. Great way to support Heritage Days.
Absolutely.
And then rounding off the night with the dance, 7:30 to 11.
Yep, and that's smoke screen again. So the three of those are always popular.
They are popular.
And then of course Saturday night the band is branded, and they're really good. They were our Thursday night concert last year, and boy, that really packed it in. They put on quite a show. So it'll be fun having those three bands.
Are we doing local musicians again in the
for the afternoon? Yep. I think the afternoon we don't have a series of them this time. What we have from 11 to 12:30 is Andy Tackett. So he'll come up and he'll play a little bit during that time. And then we have Woodson from 1 to 5. We're going to do one band, but there'll be a break when they take their break at 3 o'clock. Then we're going to have our flag-raising ceremony during that time on Saturday afternoon.
Not at the opening, but at...
Because Flag Day is on the 14th.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Yep, so it happened to fall on a Saturday, and instead of doing it at 5 o'clock, you know, it's leading right up to the parade. It gets kind of busy. We're transitioning between the bands, and so we figured 3 o'clock was their idea, and they thought that would be great. So we said, yep, that'll work.
How many food booths are there? I always get asked that, too.
Oh, food. We've got tons of food there. We have, like, 10 food stands. It's pretty much the same ones you've had in the past. We have, I think, one or two different ones. I can't remember what they are. Brian Anderson will be with us next week, and
okay.
He's our food person. But if you want to see what food we're selling, go to our website. There's a food button on there, and it lists all the food that we have.
Can you tell which button gets pushed the most?
Yeah, I guess I haven't looked at that. I bet we can.
I'll bet that that's the food button.
Yep, I bet we can. Mm-hmm.
Most of us who can't do anything else are fans of food.
That's right.
It doesn't take a great skill to eat.
That's what brings people together.
Right.
Yep.
Say, before we leave the airways, Kevin, just want to get in a plug. Mm-hmm. The pool opens this weekend, right?
Yeah. First Saturday center. After school gets out. Mm-hmm. Opening day. It's going to be a beautiful weekend. Highs in the 80s. I know there's graduation on Sunday, but yeah, we're hoping for a good turnout for opening day.
And I've heard that this cardboard race that you do during Heritage Days is a hoot.
Mm-hmm. It's a riot. We don't get a lot of people participating, so we'd love to see a boost in that, but it is fun.
Can you explain how it works?
So, cardboard boat race. The boat structure has to be made out of cardboard. Most people waterproof it with duct tape. No paint or oils on the cardboard to keep that waterproof, just because that's could affect the pool water.
Sure.
We don't want it running off in there. It's got to be human propelled. Most people use canoe paddles or something along those lines. Life jackets have to be worn by the captains that get their pool across and back, and if they survive. But yeah, it's a fun construction project. Get kids building on things. I know my oldest boy loves to build stuff, so if you can get him on it soon enough. The appliance store in town, anybody that sells big furniture, big appliances, has been very gracious in the past when we've gone and asked for cardboard boxes. So if you can remember it and think about it ahead of time, of getting that box and starting to work on your design.
Well, like a refrigerator box.
Yeah.
Yep.
Air conditioner box.
Buy some duct tape. Mm-hmm. Put that thing together.
It's got to be a bigger air conditioner.
Yeah. Right. I get my staff to put together a boat too, so lifeguards will get together a boat and race the kids across the pool, and that's usually a catastrophe. A lot of these kids that participate are better builders than some of my lifeguards, but it's a good time.
Well, so your lifeguards never win?
They usually sink pretty quick.
You hear that, Troy?
Yeah. I did hear that, They're good at helping people and saving them.
I hope so, because yep. if they sink all the time, that's not a good thing.
they have fun with it. I bet that's a hoot. So
yeah, it's a good time.
Do people decorate these then too? They put on.
Yeah. Yep, some people do. Yeah, do fun designs with different colored duct tapes, or they'll make masts or sails or flags for it.
Mm-hmm. And this is open for people to watch.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, we'll close off the deep end of the pool, and then anybody that has a boat, it's a free event, so just bring your boat by. You don't have to register, just bring it. We're starting at, 7 p.m.?
Well, they must inspect these boats to make sure that they don't have the things you mentioned.
Yeah, we'll get a good look at them before we put them in the water. If you start showing up with your boat around 6:30, 6:45, we'll close off the deep end at the 7 o'clock safety break and get it started right after 7 o'clock.
We used to have a big race in the up by the Bethel Church there.
The Yeah, I know what you're talking about.
Soapbox races.
Thank you. Yep. They used to race those. But, you know, that's, again, one of those things. And we're going to talk about volunteers. It takes a lot of people to run stuff. And that took a lot of volunteers. And it just got to the point where it was a lot. It was more work than we could. And the numbers kind of went down a little bit on it.
Okay.
So,
because that's popular building things thing, too.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Hopefully this can take that over.
We're trying. Yep.
Yep.
It doesn't sound like you get a ton of people involved in it.
We've had as many as half a dozen people bring a boat.
Well, let's get double that.
That's right. We'll start looking at that forecast coming up here, and we'll see what Heritage Days is going to do this year. And
if it's like this weekend, boy, you're going to be great. In heaven.
So, Gordy, I think the medallion hunt's going to be coming up here too.
Yeah.
And you're going to be the one taking care of that like you always do, and thanks to Chapeau Jewelry for helping put that medallion together.
Yep. We started with Pat, and Nate continued the tradition. We appreciate that very much. It's a lot of fun.
Yep, absolutely. Now, in the past, I think, and we probably still do, to collect the prize, don't you have to have a button for that?
Yep. You have to show up with the medallion, you got to have a button.
Make sure you have that button.
If you're not wearing that button, you get...
You get a prize, but you don't...
I think it's like $20 or something like that, yeah. $25. And I've had people, believe it or not, turn down the $500 prize package for $20 cash.
Wow.
Because they weren't fans of the Twins or something and didn't want the...
You could give them to somebody else to sell them.
Well, that's exactly what I told them.
Oh, well.
Oh, I'll take the $20. Okay, whatever. Here you go.
Right. Right, so. And there'll be horse rides also on
for adults,
Saturday.
Too?
Yeah, horse. This is a cathedral at the Cathedral Merciful Savior.
Well, that's for kids, not adults, right?
Oh, I think adults can get on the wagons, too. And
really?
Yeah. It's a Belgian horse rides. So there'll be like a buggy behind
it. Oh, it's a wagon ride.
Yeah.
A wagon ride. Okay.
Yeah, they're not going to jump on a horse probably. And that'd be kind of fun, though, too.
Yeah, I always thought I'd want to ride a horse in a parade.
Yeah, that'd be good. But they do it in Memorial Day parade. They had about, I bet, a dozen horses go by.
I wouldn't want it to be my first time.
Yeah.
So if you're thinking about me doing it as the Grand Marshal of the Faribault Heritage Days parade.
You know, we were talking about trying to find a car for you. Maybe we should get you on a horse and learn real quick.
No. Well, since I rode a horse, I could ride a horse, but we're talking about a parade.
Yeah.
You can't be spooked.
Right.
The horse should probably be used to being on it. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
The pet parade would be a good one to get on a horse.
I led the pet parade one year as I was a bunny. They had me in a bunny costume shortly after I moved here, and it was blasted hot. It was like that used to be when we went down 4th Street.
Yeah.
We started at what's that now?
The Farmer's Seed. That's kind of the starting point. Was that area or the lumber yard?
Well, it was before that. What was it? It was a drugstore. Anyway.
Oh, Walgreens.
That's where we used to line up, and we came down 4th Street. And, of course, there's no shade down 4th Street.
No.
Which is why I loved it when they moved the parade route. We still get questions about why did you move the parade route? I mean, seriously.
Well, it's a state highway, and I think that had something to do with it. So,
well, of course it did. Yeah. But I mean, there's no shade on there. Why wouldn't you love the parade route we got now with shade?
Beautiful. And it's beautiful on 2nd Avenue.
I mean, it's not as wide. I understand that. But
it's wide enough.
So what?
Yep.
We got a lot of parade units?
I just checked this morning, actually, and we're probably going to be about, like we did last year, about 60 units. And... And that's a nice hour and a half parade. It's perfect. Well, it's a good number.
A few more would be nice.
Yep.
We get around 70, 75. I always thought that was perfect.
Yep. So
that is about a 90-minute parade.
Yeah, it's perfect. You start to get over those two-hour numbers, and sometimes they can be hard to sit through.
Well, yeah, think of little kids.
Yeah.
They can't sit through a whole lot. We've only got a minute left. Something you want to make sure you get in here?
I don't know, Kevin. What do you think?
With that beanbag tournament, we'd love to get a good turnout for that and people signed up to boost that new program and get people down there in Central Park with the Bloody Mary Bar. We're partnering with Crybaby Craig's.
I think so. I'm not sure on that one yet, though. Yep.
Is the Mimosa Bar open when the beanbag tournament's going on?
It is. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That could be interesting.
Yeah, it could be interesting, yeah. I know they do it at Jesse James Days, too, on a Sunday afternoon, actually. That's pretty popular.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Sounds like fun. Well, I've got 10 seconds, so thanks, Kevin, and thanks, Troy, for popping in, and thanks for being on the Faribault Heritage Days Committee. They could always use more volunteers, too, folks. Have a super